Well, good morning, everybody. We excited yet? It's November. And as Bill was just talking about, Celebration Sunday is coming up. We're just going to have a great time of celebrating what God has done in and through this church body. And if Celebration Sunday is coming up, then that means Thanksgiving is coming up. And I just want to let you know that's not a good day to be my pants. Really not a good day to be my pants at all. That's a sweatpants kind of day, if you know what I'm talking about. I've really been debating whether I'm going to even just kind of sneakily wear my wife's maternity pants that day, just to get that extra slice of pie in there. But I don't know. I know some of you guys are thinking that's a great idea right now, and you're really pondering that. I know you. We're entering what most people would say is the most wonderful time of the year, right? The holiday season. But did you know it's also the most wasteful time of the year? In America, over the course of the year, we waste about $165 billion, with a B, billion dollars worth of uneaten food. Did you guys know that? Over the course of the year, $165 billion worth of uneaten food. And guess which day is the highest? Thanksgiving, yeah. On Thanksgiving, we will waste about $277 million worth of uneaten food on Thanksgiving Day alone. And those numbers are kind of hard to grasp, so let me kind of help you get your mind around those, give you a little perspective. Let's say you're walking out of the grocery store, you're gonna go make your Thanksgiving dinner, and you got four big bags of groceries in your hands. And on the way to the car, you drop one of them. But instead of stopping to pick it up or even going back to pick it up, you just let it go and you just get in your car and drive away. That's how much food we waste. That's how much we waste here in America. And some of you are saying, no, Reese, I don't do that. I don't waste that much food. I don't waste anything. Well, yeah, you do. You just maybe haven't noticed it. But food, we definitely waste food here in America, but food is nothing compared to something else that we tend to waste. We tend to waste something else that's more important than Thanksgiving dinner, that's more important than food. And some of you guys out there are thinking, what's more important than food? You tell me. You're going to have to convince me this morning what's more important than food. Well, I will. We tend to waste something that God has entrusted us with. We tend to waste something that really brings us a lot of joy in our life. We tend to waste something that really is unique to each and every one of us. And that thing we tend to waste is our talent. A talent. It's kind of like God gives us four big bags of groceries of talent in our life, and we're walking through the parking lot of life and we drop one of them. And because we get busy, because our schedules fill up, because of circumstances in our life, because of situations, we just kind of let it sit there and we keep walking. We never tend to use it. Maybe we have an amazing brain to do math equations and to think critically and to think better than most other people can, but things get in the way and we kind of drop out of school and end up playing video games in our parents' basement. Video games are awesome. I like video games. But God has more for us. Maybe we have amazing athletic ability. Now, you've seen this before. Amazing athletic ability. They could do things that you can't even imagine. But they start to party a little too hard. They start to go after things that they shouldn't be going after, and they never really get to their full potential. Maybe you're an amazing teacher. But in your life, fear has gripped you and you have yet to get in front of people to use your gift. You've all heard stories like this, right? Maybe you've seen people close to you like this. Maybe you are even like that this morning. But here's the thing, and I want to make this clear. Each and every one of us at some point, maybe right now, maybe in the past, maybe in the future, are like that. Every single one of us, because God has created us, he has given us gifts, he's given us talents to use in a specific way. And if we don't use them in that specific way, we're still wasting. We're still wasting our talent. God has given us our gifts for a specific way. And he can do that. He's God. He gave us the gifts. He can tell us how we are to use them. But if we don't use them for the purpose that he wills, we're wasting our gifts, and every single one of us struggles with this in our life because the specific purpose he gave us is difficult. It's difficult, but it's worth it. Now, my name, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Reese. I'm one of the pastors on staff of our Trinity Church body. And if you're new this morning, I just want to say welcome. We're glad you're here. You've actually caught us in the middle of a sermon series called Irrational Generosity, where we are learning, really, how to be and operate in our identity as Jesus followers, as those who are made to live to give. And this isn't a sermon series about money. We'll talk about money. We're actually going to talk about money next week. We're going to talk about money, but that's a tiny little piece of what it means to live a generous life. No, we're called to live a whole, holistic, generous life. And last week, Pastor Trent did an amazing job of talking about what it means to be generous with our time. How do we use our time in a God-honoring way? How do we give our time to his mission? And this week, if you haven't figured it out yet, we're going to be talking about what it means to be generous with our talent. And we'll talk about it in just a second, because I can hear half of you right now saying, I don't have any talent. Well, I'm going to rip that to shreds in just a minute, because each and every one of you do. But more specifically this morning, what we're going to talk about is really the purpose God gave us that talent. Really the reason why God has gifted us, the reason why God has given us the talents he's given us. And really, it's plain and simple as this: God has gifted us to gift others. That's the big idea this morning. God has gifted us to gift others. And that might not sound very clear to you right now, but there's a Bible passage, a passage in Scripture that really unpacks this extremely well. And we're going to be there this morning. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 10 and 11. Feel free to pull it up on your smartphone, your iPad, whatever you have with you, but I encourage you to follow along with us this morning. If you need a Bible, these guys are... we'll give you one to use this morning. Just raise your hand or grab for one, and they will surely give you one. But follow along this morning. Let's pray as we get started. Father, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, how beautiful it is, your people gathering together to praise you, your church gathering together to praise you. We just pray this morning that your truth would ring clear from your scripture, Lord, from my lips. I just pray, Lord, they wouldn't be hearing me this morning, they'd be hearing you. May your gospel reign supreme this morning as we learn and you change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we get started, I just want to give a little bit of context. If you don't know, the section of scripture we're going to be in today is just a small little section of a bigger letter that one of Jesus' disciples, his name's Peter, wrote to a bunch of churches in Asia Minor. And the reason he wrote the letter, really, is because at this time, Christianity was, people were starting to see Christianity as not no longer a section of Judaism. So in the past, Christianity, or what, at that time what was known as the Way, was seen as kind of an offshoot of Judaism. And when they were an offshoot of Judaism, being that Judaism was somewhat protected by the law, they were somewhat protected by the law. Well, now people were starting to see, oh, the Way, that's kind of its own faith. That's its own thing. And the Christianity is its own thing. And so now it was starting to be pulled out from underneath Judaism and being recognized as its own faith. And that presented a number of problems. First of all, the local governments started to persecute Christians, and as well as the broader culture started to persecute Christians. Does that sound familiar to you? Local governments and broader culture just started to persecute Christians. And before you in your mind say, oh, that's like what we're going through in America right now, I want to tell you, no, it's not. What they were going through back then, the only thing comparable to the persecution that they were going through back then would really be what the Christians in Iraq and Syria have been going through in the last couple years at the hands of ISIS. Because back then, they were getting dragged out of their houses, they were being beheaded, they were being crucified, they were being tortured in front of their family members. And it's in this context that Peter writes this letter to these churches who, understandably so, were becoming kind of weary, becoming kind of doubtful. And he writes this letter to them to remind them of who Jesus is, who they're serving, and he writes this letter to them to remind them, one of the big overarching themes of this letter is who they are as the church, and who they are as children of God, and how they're going to live out as the church in a world that just really wants to rip them apart. And so that's the context that we're reading from today in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read it, go through it here, just read it really quickly, and then we're actually going to go back. We're going to spend the morning going back and looking at it with a microscope and kind of unpacking it a little bit to really see what God wants for us. So here we go, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is the one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we start to dive into this passage, there's something he says right away. He says, as each has received a gift. As each has received a gift. There's no other way to take that line but that God has gifted us to gift others, but every single one of us has been gifted. Every single one of us are gifted. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, really, it doesn't even matter, and it doesn't even really matter if you call yourself a Jesus follower or not, and I'll explain that in a second. Each and every one of us have talents and gifts given by God. But he gave them for a specific purpose. Now, let me explain something really quick, because we kind of confuse this subject a little bit as Jesus followers. There's a difference between I'll call them natural talents that God has given each and every human being on the face of the earth, natural talents he's given us, stuff like our physical talent, or you can run fast, jump high, that kind of stuff, or our mind talent, we can think on ways that other people can't, or maybe your gift is your personality. Maybe you can talk to people really well, that kind of stuff. That's kind of the natural talent that each and every one of us are kind of gifted by God. And then on the other hand, there's, I'm going to call supernatural talent, and the scripture calls these the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And these are given, these are really gifts that are empowered in us by the very presence of God within us. But only believers, those who put their trust in Jesus, those who put their faith in Jesus, have these gifts, because if they're empowered by the Holy Spirit within us, we're not seen as a holy vessel for that Spirit unless we rely on Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as the one who made us righteous in front of a holy God. And those are things like hospitality, encouragement, teaching, preaching, and the scripture has a whole long list of them. But the scripture also makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit might give you those gifts, your whole believing life, or he may give you certain gifts at certain times in order to build the church. And so those are kind of the two different kind of things. There's that natural talent that we have, really every single one of us have, and then there's kind of that supernatural talent, I'm going to call it this morning, the gifting that God really gives us, empowers in us to build his church as believers. And now that we know that difference this morning, I'm just going to clump them together, okay? The talent and gifts, when I say talent, when I say skills, when I say gifts, I'm clumping them all into one category this morning, okay? I'm going to keep it really simple, because really, God has the same purpose for both of them. God has the same purpose for both of them, as we're going to find out this morning. But each and every one of us, each and every one of us are gifted. It doesn't matter who you are. It's kind of like, it always reminds me of a keychain. Each key designed to open up a specific place. Each key opens up a different destination, a different door. Now, I might have a key for my car, a key for my work, a key for my home. They all open a different place. And some of them even look alike, but they don't do the same thing. And in our context, God is the master key. God is the master key. All the other keys, the church, all of his creation are made in his... Us as human beings are made in his image. And he has uniquely crafted each and every key, each and every person, for a specific place, to open specific doors, to make a significant difference for his kingdom, for his mission. Each and every one of us is gifted. And so we no longer have the excuse. You can't no longer say, no, I'm not talented, I don't have anything to contribute. Yes, you do. You do have something to contribute. Maybe you need help finding out what that thing is. But it's our responsibility to find out, through prayer to our Heavenly Father, through the advice of others, through asking those around you, through experiences that we have, to find where we are talented, find where we are gifted. Because we are all gifted, doesn't matter who you are, to make a significant difference in the world. And he moves on. Since each has received a gift, he says, use it. Use your gift. But he doesn't say use it for however you like. He doesn't say use it for whatever you want to. No, he says use it to serve one another. Use it to serve one another. And this is at the very core of our identity as Jesus followers. Jesus, the most amazing servant of all time, if we're following him, that means we are servants. And really what he's saying here is a principle that's really all over the New Testament. Jesus talks about it. Paul talks about it. Peter talks about it. Everybody talks about it. And this principle here is that saved people serve people. Saved people serve people. You cannot help it. If you are following Jesus and you are following the master servant, you are following the Savior that came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many, then you serve. That's who you are. It's at the very core of who you are as a Jesus follower, a servant of the Most High, because you have the very power, the very presence of God within you, empowering you towards the character of a Christ, of Jesus, who sacrificed absolutely everything for you, who gave it all, and who served you at that cross. And so saved people serve people. It's kind of like, I think a lot of you at your businesses or at your schools, I know in this building we have servers. You guys know what servers are? They're not like the waitress kind of servers. I'm talking about computer servers. And it's these servers that really network all the computers together. And really the computers are able to talk to each other. They're able to kind of all be on the same page. And our ability to maximize this building and its productivity is really based on the servers doing their jobs. It's just like that in the church of God. God desires the church, a network of servers of God, of men and women coming together using their gifts to serve one another and to serve him in the process. And in fact, the more servers we have and the more efficient our servers are, the more we really accomplish for the mission that's to make disciples and to spread the good news of Jesus. He's looking for a network of servers. So I want to challenge you this morning, where are you plugged into the network? Where are you plugged into the network this morning of servers? We say that saved people serve people. And I'm just going to be totally honest with you this morning. As a pastor, I can tell a lot about your spiritual life by, first of all, if you're serving, and second of all, how you're serving. If there was one thing that I would say tells me more about where you are at spiritually, it's if you're serving and how you're serving. That's usually the two things I ask. Because saved people serve people. And if you're not serving people, well, I guess you can kind of deduct where I'm going with that. Maybe we need to talk about if we're believing the gospel to its full power. Because saved people serve people. He goes on. He says, use it to serve one another. And he says, as good stewards of God's varied grace. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Do you guys know what a steward is? A steward is someone who gets something from somebody else, receives something from somebody else, and then takes care of it, looks after it. And a steward is held accountable for how they look after someone else's property. And he's saying here, we are stewards of the grace of God and how much he has given us. We are held accountable for what we're given. We are held accountable for what we're given, just like a steward would be held accountable. And I cannot explain this point any clearer, of course, not any clearer than Jesus does. And he tells an amazing parable about this, teaches about it, and it's in Matthew 25. It's called, what do you think? The parable of the talents, right? Matthew 25, verse 14, if you want to follow along with me, I'm going to read it out loud to you. And Jesus says this. He says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed, so I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Wow, that doesn't sound like hippie Jesus, does it? Jesus is pretty serious here about what happens to those who don't use or misuse what they're given, whether it be their talent, their resources, their finances, whatever it is. God gives it to us for a reason. And I want to ask you this morning, if God were to evaluate you right now where you sit, would he call you good and faithful servant? Or by this parable, would he call you wicked? And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Was he going to call you faithful? Have you found your gift? Have you done the work to find where you're talented, to find where God has gifted you, and are you using it to serve other people? Or have you not even attempted to find your talent? You just like people to do stuff for you. And you haven't found your place to serve other people in the body of Christ or in other areas of your life. Because let me get at something here, and I'm probably going to step on toes this morning, but to be honest with you, I really don't care, because this is the truth. This is the gospel truth. The church is not a cruise liner, okay? The church is not a luxury cruise ship where we have a menu, and we come on Sunday mornings, and we just kind of choose what we want from that menu, and we kind of come on Sunday mornings, and we just consume and consume and consume and just get fat on individual spiritual nourishment. No, that's not what the church is. The church is a battleship. The church is an aircraft carrier. And each and every believer has their battle station. And the alarm has been sounding for a long, long time. And if you don't get to your battle station, if you aren't quick to get to your battle station, then you're just getting in the way. And Jesus has a lot to say as those who aren't good stewards of what he's given. And he has a lot to say in pruning and in a lot of the other parables about fruitlessness. He has a lot to say about what happens if you're just getting in the way, if you're not being fruitful. And really what he says is if you're on that aircraft carrier, in the battleship, you're getting in the way, you're just going to get thrown overboard. Because Jesus is all about making his church as efficient as possible. Because guess what? He wants to accomplish the mission he came to do. That's to make disciples of him, followers of him, because he loves people that much to hold them accountable for what he's given them. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you just come in here on Sunday mornings and you're just kind of taking things in, yeah, maybe that's fine for a season. But the church is not a luxury cruise liner. The church is a battleship, and we need you to find your battle post. We need you to find your battle station, because we cannot do this without you. We cannot afford. The world is too crazy. The world is struggling too much to afford an empty battle station on this aircraft carrier. We need you. And so find your gift, and then contact one of us staff members. If you need help finding your gift, we can help you find it. If you need help finding a place where you can get plugged in, we'll do that. We'll help you get plugged in. I don't want you getting thrown overboard. God doesn't want you to get thrown overboard. But we're all held accountable for what we're given. And he goes on. 1 Peter 4, once again. It says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as the one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Each and every one of us are given a different gift in varying degrees, right? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter here is really getting at the end game. Yeah, he's gifted us to gift others. The purpose, there's kind of two-pronged purpose here. One of them kind of in the present and the other one in the future. And we've already talked about the present reality that he's given us our gift to gift others, to serve other people with our gift. That's the purpose he's given it. But in the process of doing that, in serving other people, the end game is met. And really what he's saying here is that God gives and empowers for the mission. God gives and empowers for the mission. Because when saved people serve people and they continue to serve people, and we have this whole network of servers, this whole battleship, everyone's at their battle station, we accomplish the mission together. Because that's how God set it up. That's how he set up the church. Spiritual temples all coming together to make one big spiritual body, and that's the church, the body of Christ. I remember a movie that I saw. It was a while ago. It was called The Tuxedo. Have you guys ever seen that movie? It's terrible. Don't see it. it's a terrible movie. Don't see it. It had Jackie Chan in it. And in the movie, Jackie Chan's a taxi driver, and he really just wants to serve his customers well and to drive his customers around. But one time he gets a customer, ends up being, his name is Clark Devlin, and he's a top secret agent in his car, and throughout a bunch of violence and fights and all this stuff, one night the car gets shot up, and Clark Devlin, the secret agent, is critically injured. He's really just on his last breath, and he tells Jackie Chan, he says, put on my tuxedo, and you're going to have some extraordinary powers. And really, the quote from the movie is, put on my jacket, and you will share in my glory. And so Jackie Chan wouldn't be a good movie if he didn't put on the tuxedo. So he puts on the tuxedo, and all of a sudden Jackie Chan just becomes Jackie Chan, right? He's able to go up and down walls and do flips and do kicks and all that kind of stuff. And all because he put on the clothes of another. He put on the jacket of another. And we as the church are called to put on Jesus, that jacket of trust and faith in Jesus. And it's when we put on Jesus that we get empowered to do some pretty extraordinary things to build the church. Don't think you're going to be great without putting on that jacket of servanthood that Jesus modeled so well for all of us. But it's when we put on that jacket, we put on Christ, we come to him in faith and trust that God empowers us through those spiritual gifts, as we talked about earlier, to build the church. So this morning, just a little recap. First of all, we talked about God has gifted us to gift others. That's kind of the whole big concept this morning. And then first of all, we talked about every single one of us are gifted. Doesn't matter who you are, we all have something to offer. Second of all, we don't just use those gifts however we want to. No, we use them to serve other people. And we find that saved people serve people. We cannot deny it. That's who we are as Jesus followers. And we are held accountable for doing that. We are held accountable for what we're given, to use our talents, to use our gifts and the purpose that God has given each and every one of us. And we know that God empowers us and gives us these gifts, empowers us to accomplish the mission together, each one at their battle stations. So I want to challenge each and every one of us this morning. If you're not at a battle station and you need help getting there, contact one of us staff pastors. We'd be happy to help you out. We need you at your battle stations in the church. This world is difficult. There's a lot of evil going on. There's a lot of lies and deception going on. And we don't want you caught up in that. No, we want you caught up in the truth that you are gifted and you have something to offer this body. And we need you to be at your battle station. But we're held accountable for that. I don't want you getting thrown overboard. Your Heavenly Father does not want you being thrown overboard. We're held accountable because God has gifted us to gift others. God has gifted us to gift others. And when we put on that jacket of servant heart, we put on Christ, each and every one of us at our battle stations, each and every one of us serving the people around us, I think something pretty incredible is going to happen here in the South Metro. The gospel is going to spread. Communities are going to be transformed. Lives, families, school places, workplaces are going to be transformed. And those that see Jesus in us are going to start asking questions. Who is this God that you serve? And we're going to say, hey, his name is Jesus. And he serves you even better than we can in going to that cross for you. So this morning, I challenge us to get to our battle stations. God has gifted you to gift other people. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time together with your church. Father, you did not create us to be a luxury cruise liner. Create us to be a battleship, an aircraft carrier, serving each other here, equipping each other here, and then sending us out into the community. Oh, Father, what a privilege that you've called to do this, called us to do this with you, to accomplish the mission with you. And I pray this morning that each and every one of us would realize we are gifted, that you've given us talents, you've given us gifts to make a significant difference in the world. Oh, Father, may every heart here realize that. Father, if there's those here this morning that have yet to realize what those gifts are, Lord, I pray you reveal that to them. Reveal that to them and make it very clear. And show them where they can get connected in the body to serve other people and to accomplish the mission to make disciples of you, Lord, together. We just pray. In Jesus' name, amen.